Well, well, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Right Click. As always, Birdman here, and I'm just going to hop right into this. I'm just going to go ahead and warn you, probably going to be one of my shorter videos today. I'm very tired, first of all. A lot of stuff going on here, and I wanted to talk about what we're talking about today, but just bear with me if I'm tired, if I sound and come off as tired. I'm not gonna kill time with this one because this is gonna be pretty succinct, so it's a good topic for today. But you guys know I have talked about this time and time again, the impact that esports has had on me as an individual. That it still does. And if all things go well, I'm gonna have some stuff to announce. Hopefully in the near future, regarding some esports stuff that I'm still kind of involved in. But I have appreciated esports for, I realized this last night, legitimately half of my life. I have been involved to some degree for literally half of my life up to this point. And, I've always appreciated the underdog possibility. The whole scene was always an underdog scene. It always was. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's what's made, especially during the formation and really where things started to grow, I think that's what made it so appealing for a lot of people, is the fact that a lot of people, especially folks who didn't understand it, would look at it and go, oh, you're just wasting your life away. You're spending all these hours on a game, you know, that kind of thing. And then you realize there's millions of dollars that people are playing for, and even the amateur leagues are playing for hundreds of thousands of dollars. And it started out crowdfunding, which means the crowd, you know, the people funded these events because they were so meaningful. Well, here's the reality. The drama of today's day and age, the politics, the social politics, the cultural shift, it follows everything. And with all respect, gaming is one of the, if not the biggest outlet for people in the world. There's a reason why gaming boasts the numbers that it does, that it's the industry that it is. But again, politics and social politics has its tendrils in everything, and sooner rather than later, we're going to see a lot of the things that we saw out there in sports happen here, and so far we are, and that's what we're talking about. I'm gonna make a quick reference, especially for those of you who don't follow gaming or esports. You may know the name Riley Green. Riley Green is, she was an Olympics level swimmer. She was an extremely high level athlete. I believe she's had some connections with Rightside at some points. Well, she lost a first place advancement or something, and I don't know all the details. I don't recall at this point all the details because her story is long, but she lost to a man cosplaying as a woman in women's swimming. Leah Thomas, I think, is the guy's name. It's not a woman. I'm not going to call it a woman. But she lost to a man who proclaimed to be a woman, and the NCAA grabbed their ankles for it. Let's call it what it is. And that was it. She was completely pushed to the side, and all of her accolades were in that event were stripped because a man decided to say, I'm a woman, and compete as a woman, and they let her. Well, I'm now seeing the same thing happen here in esports. Now, arguably the biggest, if not top three biggest esports in the world, is a game called CSGO, or Counter-Strike Global Offensive. And it's a 5-on-5 shooter. If you look up Counter-Strike, you will see competition back from the 90s. It's one of the original esports. And it is still arguably the most prominent and most accessible esport out there. CSGO does some amazing stuff. on an international scale. You know, I come from Call of Duty, and Call of Duty is very near and dear to me. But as somebody who has lightly competed in CSGO before, CSGO has 10 times the pull that Call of Duty has. It's just the truth. And as of right now, one of the major leagues is called ESL. And ESL, and I'll go ahead and show you right here, ESL, their whole claim to fame is $4 million prize pool. Championships, Challengers Leagues, very similar to like Call of Duty Challengers, where it's like an amateur league and stuff like that. And they have a whole schedule. They got a lot of stuff that they do. They have the pro tours. They have the masters tours. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on, but it's millions of dollars for competition, and it's practically year-round. I got a buddy who actually competes in this, and it's interesting that I'm having these conversations because in the ESL, there is a women's league. And the Supernova Comets, this team right here, the Supernova Comets, they are a women's team for the ESL. Now, in their last tournament, which, granted, this was in May 22nd, I believe. Yeah, actually it is here. May 22nd. This is a women's section. And all five of the women's team are trans. They're all transgender women, meaning they're all men. Like, they're all men. I don't really have to go into depth on this, right? Like, this is not complicated. This is not controversial. This really isn't much of anything. At the end of the day, this is a women's league, and you have men competing in it. And I'm gonna read you something from an article. It's called Skin Club Community, and that doesn't, it's not as weird as it sounds. Skins in CSGO are a literal market, like an actual monetary market. People buy, sell, and trade skins, and several of them are worth thousands and thousands. I think there's one guy who has a gun that has a specific skin and specific stickers that value it on the market for over $1 million. It's insanity, and people have gambled over this for years. That's why Skin Club Community is a like an actual thing, and even though it sounds weird to the people who don't know CSGO, it's actually not that weird. It just means camos on a gun, basically. It's the skin on the... Anyways, point being, they posted this article that I want to cover. It's not very long, but I want to cover this because it's very interesting and it poses a very interesting question. And it's very similar to what we saw with Riley Gaines. And I think it's worth discussing. So let's look at this, right? ESL Impact Gender Controversy splits the CS2 or Counter-Strike 2 community in half, eclipsing event itself. So, ESL Impact, that's the ESL Impact is the league. While the men's IEM Dallas 2025 tournament was taking place, ESL hosted the finals of the women's ESL Impact Season 7 at the same venue. This tournament, created to support the women's scene, unexpectedly became the epicenter of one of the most heated debates in the history of women's esports. Absolutely. The reason? The emergence of Supernova Comets, a team composed entirely of transgender women, reaching the grand final. So who are they? Supernova Comets is a new North American team formed on February 5th, 2025. All five players previously competed under the Shimmer banner, and the project was built from the ground up by Coach Inc., who formed the team on the same day. The team roster is as follows, and you can see here their gamer tags are in the middle. So you have Empathy, Styx, Fox, Raven, and Serendipity. All players are openly transgender women. Despite having been part of the esports scene for some time, none of them have achieved significant success prior to 2025. They often move between teams like Shimmer, Lotus Fae, Impact, and had not won tournaments in the men's circuit. However, forming Supernova Comets became a turning point. The team dominated the North American division of ESL Impact League Season 7, winning all group stage matches 2-0, including victories over FlyQuest Red and Lumen Fae. They eventually lost in the grand final of the Global League, finishing in second place but showing strong gameplay. Outside of the women's scene, however, Supernova Comets still struggled to compete on equal footing. In April and May 2025, they lost to teams like Game Hunters, Legacy, and Might in mixed gender tournaments like Thunderpick and Fragdelphia, finishing outside the top eight. We're going to reference this again. Please remember this. This line right here, the mixed gender tournaments, we're going to reference this again. Okay, moving forward. The semifinal scandal. The controversy peaked after their semifinal match against NIP. Nato Safix, the coach of the Swedish team, claimed that while he was consoling his players after the loss, members of Supernova Comets mocked them with the phrase, "Welcome to North America." This sparked a wave of criticism and accusations of unsportsmanlike behavior. The incident reignited the debate over the fairness of allowing transgender women to compete in women's leagues. So they talked trash to real women and said, "Welcome to North America," because the North American League versus the or teams versus the international teams have always been a big debate in any esport. Moving on. Semler comment. The situation escalated further due to comments made by well-known commentator August Semler Mason on the Revenge of By the Numbers podcast. He stated outright, quote, "Transgender people are not fully women and should not be competing in women's leagues." He referenced Riot Games' policy in Valorant Game Changers, where non-binary players are labeled differently. Later, Semler doubled down on social media, reaffirming that he supports protecting the integrity of the women's scene. What does ESL say? ESL Impact League, established in 2021, has officially allowed transgender women to participate from the start, provided their gender identity is documented. There's no requirements regarding hormone therapy or gender reassignment surgery. This policy enabled teams like Supernova Comets to enter, along with many others. This is kind of where some of the conversation comes in. Arguments from both sides against transgender participation, potential physiological and gameplay advantages retained from competing in men's Counter-Strike, possibility of exploiting gender identity to enter easier tournaments. That's happened before. Times. Scandals and unethical behavior following opponents' defeats. Yep. Suggestions to create a separate league for transgender players. Okay. In defense of the transgender players, ESL officially permits transgender women to compete. Supernova Comets didn't win easily. Every match is hard fought. Oh, we are so going to talk about that one. The team aims to show that diversity is strength. The message is one of changing perceptions and promoting inclusivity in esports. Where does the and they cap it off with this? Where does the inclusion end and unfairness begin? The ESL Impact 2025 controversy highlighted how nuanced and sensitive the topic of inclusion remains in esports. On one hand, there are transgender players seeking recognition and equal opportunity. On the other, concerns about losing fair competition and equal conditions for cisgender women. Both sides raise valid points, but finding a clear answer to who is right isn't easy. Where does the inclusivity end and the fairness begin? The question remains open. What do you think? All right. I want to talk about this right here real quick. I mentioned I would talk about it. Outside of the women's scene, however, Supernova Comets still struggle to compete on equal footing. They lost to teams in mixed gender tournaments like Thunderpick and Fragadelphia. I am going to say this. You already know how I feel about men competing in women's sports. And I'm going to be very honest. I'm tired. And so I'm going to be candid. And if it's rude, I'm sorry. I don't hate you as an individual. If you are transgender and you're seeing this, I hold no hate in my heart. I want to make that very clear. But I am going to say this. regardless of the situation and what you believe yourself to be, if you were born biologically a man, you have biological advantage. And no matter how much time you spent pumping yourself full of hormones and whatever it may be that you deem to be the correct path and footing for your perceived identity, that is on you. That is not for me to sit here and interpret. However, you still biologically and inarguably have an advantage over women in certain things. There's a reason. I was just having this conversation. There's a reason why there is women's sports and men's sports, and has since the dawn of time. And it's not because of some people want to tag segregation to it, and it's BS. It really is. It has nothing to do with separating people and not having equality and equity and fairness. No, there's, by having separate leagues, literally promotes fairness and equality. I don't understand. I do not understand how you can do the mental gymnastics to say, as an individual who was a man, now proclaiming themselves to be a woman, you can claim that all day long, but biologically, what you were to begin with has a biological advantage over women. There, again, the reason why there's a split between men and women's sports, because I love watching softball. My mom was a softball player, and so I grew up watching softball more than I did baseball. Now, I did watch a lot of baseball, but I had a soft spot in my heart for softball because my mom competed at a higher level. And I find it to be more compelling because the women go out of their way to compete at a such a high level in the same but different sport, let's say again, baseball. It's compelling because it's rising to a new challenge. And it's not rising to the challenge to meet men. It has nothing to do with that. It's being the height of competitiveness with who they are. You can make the argument that every sport and every iteration of men or women's version of that sport is the same thing, and it is. If we're seriously going to have this garbage conversation, we have to understand two things. One, there is an advantage. And if you get to this point, if you get to this point, you've lost what you are shooting for. At one point, it says, obviously, it talks about exactly what we're talking about here, arguments from both sides, right? There has been cases of exploiting gender identity to do this, but here's the thing that where I don't even remember where it's at in this. It's yeah, none of them achieve success in the men's league. And then it says they have been having yeah, right here. Supernova Comets don't win easily. Every match is hard fought. Well, this paints the entire picture, right? This is the same picture that Riley Gaines was painting to Leah Thomas. You are a very subpar individual in your sport when you were playing with your biological sex. When you decided, well, I'm putting on a dress, and you started to play for this, then you became somebody good. No. What you did was, as a man, take advantage of biological advantages and exploit women. They're literally five dudes exploiting women. And no matter what they say they are, what they were, what they really are still men. This BS is in esports now. And it's garbage. It's absolute trash. And here's the funny thing. Talking about the mixed gender tournaments, this is where this should be allowed. Because if the entire idea is mixed gender, either man or woman, and they can play together, it's co-ed, who gives a rat's rear end what you call yourself if it doesn't matter in a mixed gender tournament? That is where that allowance should be. Or, like it says, maybe we should create a separate league for transgender players. It's not going away. But let's retain some sensibility, some attachment to reality, and do something proper about it. In my opinion, mixed gender tournaments are where they should be. I am stunned that we are at the point where we're having this conversation. We've seen it with Riley Gaines. I'm very curious to see if this gains traction, because this is a big deal, and I have been seeing this happen in COD lately. I saw a very subpar player all of a sudden come out as transgender, join the women's league, and then single-handedly carry a team of women to great success. And I'm not trying to demean these women, because the women's league is very entertaining, because they play COD differently. It's just straight up. It's the same reason why I used to love watching like the Spanish teams and stuff like that, because they played the game differently. It's the same fundamental thing. Well, this dude came in, put on a dress, and said, "Hey, I'm playing for the women's league," and he cleaned house. And most of these women who were playing had not been playing very long. This dude had been doing it his whole life. We got to keep this stuff out of sports. We got to keep this stuff out of esports. We got to keep this stuff grounded in reality. But I'm going to leave it at that. I'm very curious to see how this progresses, because this happened within the last week. So it'll be interesting to see where this goes. But I'm going to leave it there. I appreciate you all watching. As always, Birdman here. Reach out to us. We want to hear what you have to say. Reach out to us on the contact page or birdman@rightsidemedia.org. This isn't going anywhere, but that also means we can't. Simple as that. So I appreciate it. I'll see you guys in the next one. Hopefully I have some updates. If what I think is on the horizon is actually on the horizon, I will be very excited, and probably will cut in with some new videos and stuff like that. So anyways, thank you all for watching. I'll see you guys next week. Go check out all our other stuff at rightsidemedia.org. Birdman here, as always. Have a wonderful day.